Hello, this is Chuck Solomon, and welcome to the Candidate Experience Podcast, where we focus on the job candidate journey from apply to onboard and the space in between. Let's get started. You care about the candidate experience. But have you ever wondered exactly how to bring your company to that next level and offer a world-class experience to your candidates? It's not easy. Fortunately, Candidate.fyi can help. Their solution guides candidates through your hiring journey, enhancing transparency and communication at every touch point. You'll also gain valuable insights on what's working and what's not with your hiring process. Best of all, it integrates directly with your ATS. Head on over to candidate.fyi and see how to transform your company's candidate experience today. Welcome to the Human Touch episode, where Lauren Ahrens, Senior Director of Talent Acquisition at H1, is my special guest. Hear how her team is working to create a top job candidate experience at her company. We cover a number of important topics in this episode, including candidate feedback, hiring managers, and rejections. Enjoy. Hi, Lauren. How are you today?
I'm good, Chuck. How are you?
I'm doing well. Could you please let listeners know a little bit about yourself, your company, and your role?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm Lauren. I lead global recruiting for a company called H1. We're a Series C startup focused on global healthcare data. We actually have a software platform that speeds decision-making and insights for users in life sciences and pharmaceutical industries and so forth. And I've been in recruiting for the last 10 plus years, focused mostly on building data and technology-enabled recruiting teams and building great candidate experiences.
Awesome. What got you started in working in this talent space?
Yeah, honestly, I really recognized, it's interesting. It was actually 2008. When, mm-hmm. the first sort of first real economic crisis I had
right.
over the course of my own personal career.
Right.
And I was working for a financial services startup, at the time. And what I noticed is that there were a lot of very unseasoned managers, who really struggled to sort of keep a lid on their stress and
right.
noticed how it influenced their team somewhat negatively. And I sort of became very kind of hyper aware of how hiring decisions impacted the culture of a company.
Sure.
Super important to me, not just the candidate experience, but also how it leads into the employee experience. And I wanted a hand in helping shape that.
That's great. I ask that same question of all my guests, and it's the same question, but I get really unique answers, I think. Not once have I had someone say, "Well, I was in high school and my guidance counselor said you should be,
be
a recruiter.
I went to college and got a degree in recruiting," said no recruiting leader ever.
Yeah, no one ever said that before. So anyways, well, I appreciate you sharing that.
Sure.
So can you describe a challenge that either your current company or a past company had experienced with some aspect of the candidate experience and what you did about it?
Yeah, absolutely. And naturally, that's an aspect that I've worked to sort of move the needle on in every organization that I've been a part of and built
right.
teams around that as sort of being one of the primary focuses. And I'll share an example from H1 and a place where I think we've made a really great impact here, which is any candidate who at H1 makes it to a conversation with a hiring manager,
mm-hmm.
they get invited to a phone call to get feedback. So we don't send a generic rejection email. We don't think that that's the right way to repay a candidate for taking the time to talk to both a recruiter and a hiring manager. And we think it's super important that people know you know, ultimately why we may not be moving forward with their resume or with them as a candidate. And so we do take the time. It was a training that I led with our team about rejecting with empathy. We know that that's sometimes hard and disappointing news for candidates to receive.
Right.
But we find is through those conversations, we get overwhelmingly positive feedback after delivering disappointing news, which I certainly take as a good sign. And we get a lot of thank yous for, you know, taking the time and that being a differentiator.
How did you get the green light to go forward with doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're a B2B company. And mm-hmm. so we're not, you know, I joke all the time, you know, if you're applying to a job at Nike and you have a negative experience, although I do know some of the recruiters at Nike, and they actually have a great team there and they're doing great work. But at the end of the day, if you're a brand, a consumer facing brand, right? If you have a negative recruiting experience, you're probably still going to love Nike sneakers. But the challenge with being a B2B company, and I've worked in several of them, you don't have that consumer reputation. And so when you're interacting with candidates, that's often the only interaction that they have with your brand. And so I think at H1, our values in general are centered on a couple of things are relevant to this piece. One is know why. So we think it's really important for people to understand why things are done the way that they're done, so that they can sort of replicate and understand and learn. And secondarily, we also have a corporate value called Beautifully Polished Rocks, which is all about the fact that, you know, good ideas come from friction.
Right.
But that's really about sort of the exchange of feedback in both directions. So when candidates are invited to that verbal feedback session, we're also making it clear in the message that, you know, we have some feedback to share, but we'd also like to hear about their experience as well, if they're open to sharing. You know, didn't necessarily get asked to do that when I got here, but to me, that's a really important part of the process in terms of the types of teams that I build and the types of experiences we look to deliver. And that's been a core part of strategy of every company that I've been in once I look to sort of influence the recruiting process in key ways.
That's really excellent. And, you know, so often at best, I hear that, you know, the canned ATS rejection email that folks get, but you're actually, and you said, when someone's actually spoken with a hiring manager, not someone who's just applied, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I would love to speak with everyone who applies. I will say that I do occasionally get people who will request, you know, feedback on their resume or what they could do better next time. I don't take all of those inquiries, but occasionally I'll get a very strategic question or a well thought out response from a candidate. I met with a candidate today who's looking to make a little bit of a career transition. And we had a really great conversation about how he might be able to set him up for success. I took a 15-minute call to share some feedback. I have another relationship that I built that stemmed from another resume rejection, asking for feedback. So I do think the more you can sort of create a human-to-human connection through the process in a sustainable way, right? We obviously, as recruiting leaders, can't take all of those conversations, but I do think they're really important.
Yeah, some of the not-so-positive input that I've heard from HR folks is we can't give feedback. We're worried about, you know, potential lawsuits, which I'm sure there's been lawsuits before, but is that the norm? And so, I mean, good for you to figure out how to actually do this. And I'm assuming you're staying out of trouble when doing so.
Yeah,
and you're
I think it's not, I wouldn't send recruiters in blind to have those conversations unprepared. We do a lot of scenario practice, right? Of write out your talking points. Here are the things to mention. Here are the things to stay away from. But at the end of the day, what I'm finding is overwhelmingly, we get really positive feedback from candidates who are eager to learn and are eager to ultimately find the right fit opportunity. So, you know, the team has training. They're well informed in terms of what they can share and what they shouldn't share. But in general, you know, we look to keep it high level and to share some positivity as well. And so most people walk away happy rather than looking to sue anyone.
Yeah. I mean, this is a huge complaint out there, especially from people that are on the other side, the job seekers, that it's often this silence. They don't know what's going on. Their minds are, you know, just wondering. And that, that not knowing is not good. So good on you and good on your team.
Yeah, the candidate I actually spoke with today said something that I thought really articulated why it is we do what we do, which is I sent him an email rejection, and we've had there's a lot of good talent on the market, and anyone who's out there on a recruiting team right now trying to hire people in tech knows there's really, really good talent. And so proactively with the last round of rejections, I actually welcomed some solid profiles to reach out and connect with me on LinkedIn and stay in touch, knowing that this team would probably be hiring some more folks in the future. And I had a candidate who, when I got on a call today, who had asked me for some feedback, shared that I was the email rejection that I sent was the first email he had received that he could even reply to. So in other words, I was the first person who had sent, and he said, I've applied to more roles than I can count. It's a tough market out there. But that to me really, really like reminded me why we do what we do and why we take the time to do what we do, because it does make a difference. And sending a rejection email and having someone write back and say, thank you so much for the feedback, I appreciate the approach, really, you know, it gives you energy and makes you want to keep making sure that we're, you know, making a positive impact.
So, I guess I have some insider knowledge because I know the ATS that you use. And I'm just checking my assumption here. So in the template, you have your actual email address, not the no reply email address selected.
That's right. Yep. And it does create, I have a lot of teams who will tell me, how do you do that? Doesn't that create so much email volume? And it does. I will totally acknowledge that it is a decision that we make strategically that does create sometimes like an unwieldy volume of responses. But what I generally find is most of those responses are simple thank yous that don't require a follow-up. Right. But the fact that it is a human behind the email that gives candidates the feeling, there's this weird rumor out there that everyone's resume gets reviewed by a bot and a decision gets made, which I think is an overreach.
Right.
but I think generally most recruiters out there, there is a human behind the decision, and I want my team to feel like they stand behind their decision. And pass on someone's resume when they've been thoughtful enough to apply, I think is super important, that we feel like we can stand behind the decision that we've made to pass on a resume. And I think sometimes candidates get the feeling that there's not a real strategic decision being made behind the resume review, because there isn't someone standing behind it, right? And it does feel sort of automated and computerized. So,
right. Well, good on you for not using the no reply email, and you've gotten recognition for that. So that's great stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
So we've talked a lot about sort of like the recruiting side of things, but as we all know, hiring managers are really important to candidate experience. I'm wondering how you talk to hiring managers about the importance of a good candidate experience.
Yeah, for sure. So part of it, I think, is in the strategy session. So before we open each position, we spend time with the manager really getting to understand exactly the profile they're looking for, what they're not looking for. We go through some sort of deep dive into those details. We talk about the interview panel as well and who we're going to pull in and who's going to be involved in those conversations. And a lot of the themes are, how do we balance and build a great candidate experience? And part of that is in, you know, making sure that the rounds aren't too long and making sure that they're not too short. And we do give candidates the opportunity to get a strong feel, not just for the role, but also for the culture, a sense of who they're going to be working with, right? And all of that is because we want to deliver a positive experience.
Right.
We make clear and we highlight candidate experience as this brings back up our no why value, but we explain any candidate who makes it to you, we'll handle the turndown, we'll make the phone call, we'll get on a call with a candidate that you ultimately want to reject. We'll filter your feedback, we'll make sure that it's appropriate, and we'll deliver it to them. And so there is this sort of push and pull with hiring managers about how we get to that optimal profile along the way, ensuring that, you know, we all know we're in the business of disappointing people as recruiters. People think recruiters just get to write checks all the time. unfortunately, you know, it's more of the 1% that I'm actually getting to make an offer to and the 99% that we're ultimately going to disappoint.
Right.
But how do we do that in a way that ensures that that talent might consider us in the future? And we'll walk away from being rejected with still considering us in a positive light. And so a lot of how we build our process from the start in a role is focused on the candidate experience component. And I think managers at H1 really do take well to that. I had a manager today who ultimately had some conflicts, but moved things around to make sure that we're creating a good candidate experience. So there is that, I think there is that positivity and the understanding that that's a critical piece of the puzzle for us. And how we win talent ultimately. I also think when you're a startup, we're just understanding too that we're not sort of the FANG companies of the world, right? And hiring, where you just, you know, you say, I'm calling from this company and everyone knows who you are. Right. So there is this level of investment that we make in talking to candidates and explaining what it is that we do and who we are, so that they're excited by our work. And I do think when that's the culture and that's the type of company, I mean, we're a Series C company. So I think there is that heavy focus on each each person that you speak to becomes someone that you're invested in, and someone that you want to walk away with a good impression of the organization. And I do think when you're in this sort of stage of company build, there is just a general respect for keeping that intact and keeping that positivity going.
Couldn't agree with you more. I'm just curious, like, have you figured out sort of like the magic number of interviews with a candidate in order to have enough data to make a decision? Or have you, you know, gone for more to less? Or where are you at now with that magic number?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always the question, right? And I think it really depends. I think it depends on a few things, I should say. I think it depends on level. So naturally at the executive level, I expect that we're going to spend a little bit more time because when you're joining a company as an executive, you need to make sure that your style also works for the culture. There's just more, I think, sort of decision factors. But I read somewhere that I think it's after the fourth interview, there's sort of a point of diminishing returns where you're really not likely to get a significantly different average viewpoint on a candidate with rounds 5+. But that said, I think we generally aim, depending on the level, somewhere between 3 and 6. There are a couple pieces that are consistent. So every candidate speaks with a recruiter first, and they go through sort of the traditional, are you qualified? They typically will speak with a hiring manager second. We usually have some additional team member in there. And then we do for every role also do what we call a values round, and we do an assessment round. So the values round is really very conversational in nature. It's typically not someone that's in a direct reporting line with the individual, but it gives people a flavor for the values at H1, and really ensuring that they're going to love working here as much as we love working here, and that they'll feel natural in the environment, and that they'll also be making decisions that will help sort of further the values and culture that we've created here. And then the assessment piece, right, naturally is about sort of testing their acumen in a specific area that's critical for the role. So if it's technical, that's obviously going to be more of a live coding assessment,
right?
Where it's, you know, sort of more executive level in accounting, for example, might be a little bit of like a business case type scenario, but we try to work in some type of assessment for each role as well. And so those are, you know, sort of as I lay those out, those are naturally 4 to 5, and that's probably where we average out for most roles.
Gotcha. Well, thanks for sharing all that. I'm wondering, do you have just one tip for others that is perhaps no budget or at least low budget that a company could do to improve their candidate experience?
But yeah, I think in general, I think it's really important that we keep in mind the feedback I heard from the candidate this morning, which is my rejection email to him after applying to more roles than he could count was the first email where he had heard back from a human. An actual person with a name came from directly from my email address that he could actually respond to and ask a question. And I think, especially for B2B companies, creating that human element in the process is very important, assuming that your candidates are going to come in and work with people. Right. So
sure.
I think to me, it's a very, especially at a time where most tech companies aren't doing a ton of hiring, they're hiring for sure, but it's not super high volume.
Right.
To me, it's a really good opportunity to focus on the experience and to ensure that people are feeling that human touch.
Love it. The human touch. If people want to get a hold of you, how could they do so?
So again, my name is Lauren Ahrens. I work at H1. I'm real easy to find on LinkedIn. I'm happy to connect with folks who are interested in making human connections.
Awesome. Lauren, I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, Chuck, thanks so much for having me. This was great.
Thanks for listening to the Candidate Experience Podcast. You can reach out to us via our website, thecx.xyz. That's thecx.xyz.